Psalm 82, a psalm of Asaph.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Kennard Brown speaking. Sorry for the delay. Had some slight technical issues. Hopefully, you can hear me. And I am your host for the Merciful Servants of God Biblical Instructional Program with the 10-minute delay. But anyway, what we're going to talk about today is Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're going to talk about and prove through the scriptures today that this world certainly is in a Sodom and Gomorrah state. But first, what we're going to do is check world news today. What I do normally on this program, I go to watch.org, and you can go there with me right now. It's a very good website. It gives you insight on what's going on in the Middle East and around the world. The top news on this website is Koenig, K-O-E-N-I-G, World Watch Daily. Mike Huckabee, I know you guys remember him. He tosses his hat in for the 2016 presidential ring, and he promises to lead America from hope to higher ground as U.S. has lost its way morally. That's so true. Huckabee is a conservative, and I think he was a minister at one time. And so we'll see what happens in reference to him running for president of the United States. May 5th, 2015, again, experts warn EMP, that's electronic magnetic pulse attack, could cripple U.S. infrastructure. I've talked about this before. We don't need a nuclear bomb to decimate the United States. All we would need is the electrical grid to be annihilated, because ever since technology, which really originated in the 1800s with the invention of the steamboat by Britain, we have gone away from the farms. We depend more on electricity than we depend on agriculture. Prior to the 1800s, we all had our own farm, and so, but that has changed now. We don't have our own farm now, and most of us anyway, and we have to depend on the grocery stores. We have to depend on electronics for communications. We depend too much on technology, and that's a problem. And so if an electronic magnetic pulse situation occurs, this country certainly will be devastated. We would be going right back to the 1800s or the buggy days if that occurred. So that's something to take a look at and be aware of. Islamic State claims Texas attack is first on U.S. soil. This is interesting. The Islamic State jihadist group on Tuesday claimed responsibility for its first attack on U.S. soil. A shooting at an event in Texas showcasing cartoons mocking the Prophet Muhammad that left the gunman dead. I quote, two of the soldiers of the caliphate executed an attack on an art exhibit in Garland, Texas, and this exhibit was portraying negative pictures of the Prophet Muhammad, the jihadist group said. I quote again, we tell America that what is coming will be even bigger and more bitter, and that you will see the soldiers of the Islamic State do terrible things, the group announced. And so we need to be praying for the Jews, the little land in Israel. We need to be praying all over the world for God to have mercy on this world as we get into the fulfillment of end time events. So let's concentrate a little bit more on what's going on domestically. So let's go to the Economic Collapse blog. The Economic Collapse blog. And this is done by my friend Michael. And he states here on the website, "Are you prepared for the coming economic collapse and the next Great Depression?" And so are you? Because most people certainly are not prepared for the next Great Depression. A lot of people don't even think that there is a new Great Depression, but there is, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to happen, and we need to be aware. We can't have our head in the sand, because if we have our head in the sand, things will not work out the way we think. In other words, we have to educate ourselves. We have to educate ourselves on things that are occurring in the world, and we need to be prepared for those things as those things happen. We need to be prepared, because if we're not prepared, then bad things will unnecessarily happen to you. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Verse 3, it states, "A prudent man foresees the evil, and he hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." So you should be prepared for anything that may happen, any kind of catastrophe. That's just only wise. And Yeshua stated that these days are like the days of Noah. He stated that in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 26. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 26, he states plainly, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 27, "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given into marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Noah," or in the days of Lot, rather. In the days of Lot, which this program will be focusing more on today, "they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." So verse 30, "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And he states, and he warns, "In that day," in verse 31 of Luke chapter 17, "he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Remember Lot's wife. You don't want to go back. This is symbolic, because once you repent, get immersed, and you receive the Holy Spirit, you do not want to go back into your filth, into your vomit. And this is what Lot's wife did. She turned around and looked back when the angel told her to look, don't look back. And she, of course, disobeyed what the angel told her, and she got turned into a pillar of salt. And so he tells us to remember Lot's wife for a reason. We should never look back. We should look forward. And that's another way that you can overcome sin. I just recently did a Bible study on that. You can look in the archives about how to overcome sin. And one of the ways you overcome sin is not to look back. Don't think about the past. I'm talking about the bad things that you did in the past. Now, the good things is fine. I mean, it's good to reflect on the good things that you did in the past. But the bad things you should not reflect on, because once you start doing that, then, of course, you're going to get into that same bad cycle of sin that you are trying to overcome and avoid. And so that's something to take in consideration there as far as being able to overcome sin. All right, so where are we? We're looking at Michael Snyder's website here, the economiccollapseblog.com. A headline states here, altered secrecy surrounds Barack Obama's new global economic treaty. It says Barack Obama is secretly negotiating a global economic treaty which would destroy thousands of American businesses and millions of good-paying American jobs. In other words, it would be the final nail in the coffin for America's economic infrastructure. Obama knows that if the American people actually knew what was in this treaty, that they would be screaming mad, so the negotiations are being done in secret. The only people that are allowed to look at the treaty are members of Congress, and even they are being banned from saying anything to the public. American workers are about to be brutally stabbed in the back, and thanks to all of this secrecy and paranoia, they won't even see it coming. So you can click the hyperlink there where it says read more and read the rest of it. Experts are warning that the $76 trillion global bond bubble is about to explode. Warren Buffett believes that bonds are very overvalued, and a recent survey of fund managers found that 80% of them are convinced. They're convinced that bonds have become badly overvalued. The most famous bond expert on the planet, Bill Gross, recently confessed that he has a sense that the 35-year bull market in bonds is ending, and he admitted that he is feeling great unrest. Nobel Prize winning economist Robert Shiller. Nobel Prize winning economist Robert Shiller has added a new chapter to his best-selling book in which he argues that bond prices are irrationally high. The global bond bubble has ballooned to more than $76 trillion and interest rates have never been lower in modern history. In fact, 25% of all government bonds in Europe actually have a negative rate of return at this point. There is literally nowhere for the bond market to go except for the other direction. And when this bull market turns into a bear, it will create chaos and financial devastation all over the planet. That reminds me of a prophecy in the book of Revelation. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. So it's talking about economics, socioeconomics as well as geopolitical. Verse 6, and I heard a voice in the middle of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." There's a real good commentary about this in the Jewish New Testament commentary by Messianic Jew David Stern. He states here, the breaking of the first four seals releases the four horsemen of the apocalypse, who represent respectively, number one, war in this aspect of subjecting peoples one to another. Number two, this is the second seal, war in this aspect of hate between nations and individuals. Three, inequitable economic distribution, or less likely, general scarcity of goods. And number four, the death which results from the first three, war, wild animals, equals hate, famine, equals inequitable distribution, and from disease, plagues. Because if you don't have enough food, if you're not getting the proper nutrients for your body, what happens? Your body breaks down, and of course you have diseases. And so that is something that is happening as I'm speaking. It's been happening for a while, really, the third seal. We've been going through this, the richer gets richer and the poorer get poorer, ever since really the 1800s with the invention of the steamboat, where people started going or moving to the cities so they can work near the manufacturing plants. And of course, through manufacturing, you had to create offices, and then that's when services started to be created as well, in conjunction with the product or service that you're marketing. So this has occurred since the 1800s with the invention of the steamboat, which helped us to move faster. And things have been going faster ever since, ladies and gentlemen. But the bad news about that is that there is certainly a big division, and we're going to talk about today, between the rich and the poor, because not caring for the poor like you should is certainly one of the sins of Sodom that we're going to go over today. All right. And so let's take a look, or let's watch what these experts are saying here about the $76 trillion global bond bubble. 96% of Americans expect more civil unrest in U.S. cities this summer. So this is very vital news. That's why I have to read it to you. It says, are you ready for rioting, looting, and mindless violence in major U.S. cities all summer long? So this is what experts are predicting is going to occur. According to a brand new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll, 96% of all Americans believe that there will be more civil unrest in America this summer. 96%, that is a humongous percentage of Americans that believe that there will be more civil unrest in America this summer. That leaves only 4% of people that believe that everything will be just fine. In this day and age, it is virtually impossible. It's virtually impossible to get 96% of Americans to agree on anything. Oh boy, that is so true. So the fact that just about everyone agrees that we are going to see more civil unrest should really tell you something. The anger that has been building under the surface for so many years in this country has finally started to erupt. And if you have been following my website for a while, you know that this is something that I have been warning about for a very long time. Many people may have thought that I was exaggerating when I talked about the civil unrest that was coming to American cities, but I was not exaggerating at all. In fact, if anything, I was downplaying it in the years to come. We are about to see things happen in our cities that are going to absolutely shock the world. And, you know, this is a prophecy. Ezekiel 5, 6, and 7 talks about these things. Let's take a look at Ezekiel chapter 5. And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard. Then take thee balances to weigh and divide the hair. Verse 2. Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled. And thou shalt take a third part and smite it about with a knife. And a third part thou shalt scatter in the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. Verse 3 of Ezekiel chapter 5. Thou shalt also take therefore a few in number and bind them in thy skirts. And verse 4. Then take of them and cast them into the midst of the fire and burn them in fire. For therefore shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel. Again, you must understand who Israel is. If you don't, you won't understand prophecy fully. Israel consists of 12 tribes. They are listed in Genesis chapter 49 and Deuteronomy chapter 33. For your convenience, in Genesis chapter 49, the patriarch Yaakov, or Israel, his name was changed to Israel, he stated that the prophecy that he gave in Genesis chapter 49, which identifies all those tribes, were for the last days, these days that we're living in today. A Jew that lives in the Middle East, Yair Davidi, has identified, God has used him to identify these tribes for us. It's no longer a secret if you want to believe your Bibles and history. Go to www.britam.org. That's www.britam.org and be enlightened and amazed at the information that you'll find. And you'll find that the Western nations consist certainly of those 10 tribes today. The tribe of Judah is the Jews, and Benjamin is linked with them. As in the first chapter, Ezra is stated that Benjamin and Levi, or Levi, went along with Judah back to the land of Israel, or Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple after it was destroyed by the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, back in 586 BC. And so when you look at the house of Israel, it's talking about all the tribes, including the Jews. The leaders, really, of the tribes are the little nation of Israel, the Jews, the United States, and Britain. Britain, the name Brit, means covenant. Ish means man. And so they are the covenant people, ladies and gentlemen. The covenant people came over here into the United States, and they created the United States of America. Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim is Britain, Manasseh is America. He explains all this. Just go to his website, www.britam.org. It's outstanding revelation that you must know to understand the Bible prophecies. And so when you understand that the house of Israel is certainly talking about the United States and its cities, Britain and its cities, and all the other Western nation cities, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, the countries in northwestern Europe, then this prophecy makes a lot of sense. And it made sense back then, but it's a prophecy. Remember, the prophetic books, a lot of times the prophecies that are spoken about have a dual fulfillment. So Ezekiel 5 verse 4, then take of them again and cast them in the midst of fire and burn them in the fire, for therefore shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel, United States, the British Commonwealth of Nations, little nation of Israel in the Middle East. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem I have set in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. So this is focusing on Jerusalem, but also those other countries are involved in this. All the nations, the United Nations is involved. Verse 6, and she has changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations. Now, see, this is interesting. There is a gay movement in Jerusalem. There's a lot of other wickedness in Jerusalem, ladies and gentlemen. And it states here in Ezekiel 5, verse 6, and she have changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. And, you know, I was just talking recently to someone saying, oh, the Jews, she couldn't understand that Jews sin too, and that the Bible, God reveals that they have changed his statutes, and my statutes more than the country that are round about it, for they have refused my judgments and my statutes, they have not walked in them. This is a prophecy about the Jews and the rest of the tribes and the western nations. Verse 7, therefore thus says the Lord God, because you multi, even Jonathan Kahn understands that the United States is linked with Israel. Read his book. You know, I know I'm not popular and so forth. Fine. Well, go ahead and read somebody who is popular, Jonathan Kahn. Not that I want to be, but I do preach the truth. And but people, they pay attention more to someone who's on video or has a big congregation. So go ahead and read his book on the mystery of the Shemitah year, where he understands that the United States is linked with Israel. So anyway, verse 6. And she has changed my judgment to wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes, they have not walked in them. Verse 7, therefore thus says the Lord God, because you multiply more than the nations that are round about you and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Therefore thus says the Lord God, and this is pitiful. Because, behold, I, even I, am against thee and will execute judgments in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations. Verse 9, and I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereof I will not do any more the like, because of all thine abominations and abominations that are occurring in this country and around the world. And these western nations are the abominations of Sodom and Gomorrah that I'm going to talk about today after I get through reading this prophecy. Ezekiel 5, verse 10, therefore the father shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers. Now, this is the Bible, folks. I'm not making this up. And so God is telling us that we're going to suffer the economic chaos that Michael Snyder is succinctly saying on his website. We're going to have economic problems, severe economic problems, to the point of where we're going to be doing the fouling in verse 10. Therefore, the father shall eat the sons in the middle of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers. Then I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into the winds. This happened before, it's going to happen again. Wherefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thy abominations, therefore I will diminish thee, neither shall my eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. Yes, God cannot have pity at times because of our wickedness. And we're getting to that point. Ezekiel 5, verse 12. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. And a third part shall fall by the sword around about thee. And I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Now, this is a significant scripture. Let me repeat again. He says 33% of thee shall die with the pestilence. And with famine they shall be consumed in the midst of thee. And 33% shall fall by the sword round about thee. And I will scatter 33% into all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them, the military. This sounds like martial law. This sounds like internal strife. That's what this sounds like, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 13, thus shall my anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted, and they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal, when I have accomplished my fury in them. Moreover, I will make thee waste and a reproach among the nations that are round about thee in the sight of all that pass by. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt, an instruction and an astonishment unto the nations that are round about thee, when I shall execute judgments in thee in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. Furious rebukes. And I think that word does mean correction. Sometimes the King James translators didn't correct it or translate it fully here. Yes, chastisements, corrections. I, the Lord, has spoken it. That means if it's going to be furious rebukes, and that word furious in the Hebrew means hot displeasure correction. So there's a lot of things that we need to be corrected about us, ladies and gentlemen. It says, I, the Lord, has spoken it. Kenar didn't speak it. It says the Lord. Verse 16, when I shall send upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you. This is talking about the sixth seal. And will break your staff of bread. That means the ability to take care of yourself. That's what he's going to do. Verse 17, so I will send upon the famine an evil beast, and they shall bereave thee. Bereave in Hebrew means miscarry you, rob you of children, and pestilence and blood shall pass through thee, and I will bring the sword upon thee. War. I, the Lord, has spoken. You need to take these prophecies seriously, ladies and gentlemen. God is not playing around, and he's sick and tired of our people thinking that he is playing around. And so, you have been warned. Jonathan Kahn has warned you. Little old me is warning you right now. And God can give a mighty message through a little old me. And so I suggest you pay attention to what I'm telling you. Here's another headline. As I'm speaking, this prophecy is being fulfilled in this Genesis. In the beginning, major U.S. retailers are closing more than 6,000 stores. If the U.S. economy really is improving, then why are big U.S. retailers permanently shutting down thousands of stores? The retail apocalypse that I have written about so frequently appears to be accelerating. As you will see below, and you'll see below by clicking on Read More, the hyperlink, major U.S. retailers have announced that they are closing more than 6,000 locations. But economic conditions in this country are still fairly stable. Wake up, people! Let's wake up. Things are happening. You need to wake up. So if this is happening already, what are things going to look like once the next recession strikes? For a long time, I have been pointing to 2015 as a major turning point for the U.S. economy. I may have read this last week. I'm just going to read it again. And I still feel that way. And since I started the Economic Collapse blog at the end of 2009, this guy's woken up already. We need to wake up like he has been woken up. I have never seen as many indications that we are headed into another major economic downturn as I do right now. If retailers are closing this many stores already, what are malls and shopping centers going to look like a few years from now? It's going to look like they were raided. That's what it's going to look like. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what's happening. I'm going to be a little more forward with you. All right? Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1 says, for behold, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah. That means all the tribes. Jerusalem is the capital of all the tribes of Israel. And from Judah, the Jews, the stay and the staff. That means the ability to take care of yourself. Socioeconomics. The whole stay of bread. And the whole stay of water. Those are the basic necessities of life. He's going to take those away because of our sin, because we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 2, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and they are. They are. and the people shall be oppressed. And they are, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly, and they are. I know from firsthand experience, teaching in the substitute, as a substitute teacher, I know. And the child does behave himself proudly against the ancient. The ancient aren't given any respect today. And the base against the honorable. In verse 6, this is what's going to happen. It's happening as I'm speaking. When a man shall take hold of his brother, of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this room be under thy hand, is about to happen as I'm speaking. It is happening. It's happened already around the world, already in Africa and all these third world countries. It's going to happen to us. And it's starting to happen as I'm speaking. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. Verse 9, the show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin of Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. Verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Hillary Clinton's running for president again. And don't be surprised if she wins. Oh, my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err. That word err in the Hebrew means to deceive and to destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge his people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. For you have eaten up the vineyard and the spoil of the poor in your houses. This is a topic that no one wants to talk about, but it's, well, I shouldn't say no one, but many people in America don't want to talk about the poor. They don't want to talk about the poor. But God talks about the poor. He's prophesied about our people and how stingy we are. Verse 15, what mean ye that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, says the Lord God of hosts. Because the Lord says, because of the daughters of Zion are walking haughty and walk with their stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and missing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. And the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments. It just sounds like an American woman that he's talking about, a Western woman with all this stuff on them. And the round tears like the moon, the chains, the braces, the mufflers, the bonnets, the ornaments of the legs, the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings, the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the whipples and the crisping pins, the glasses, yes. And the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. Verse 24, and it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of a well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, war, and thy mighty in the war. And her gate shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. So let's take a look at these horrendous sins of Sodom, ladies and gentlemen. Let's understand what this nation must repent of. Let's understand. Ezekiel chapter 16. If you want to know what the definition of Sodom is, you just go to the Bible to tell you. As far as the sins. Ezekiel 16 verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. You ever hear American pride? Fullness of bread. Our people are one of the fattest people in the world. Abundance of idleness. We can't even get up to do anything. We want to want everything. We want to push button and do everything. We want things to be done for us. I mean, we're just a bunch of lazy people. a lot of us up, not all of us. An abundance of idleness was in her hand and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And people tell me that, oh, we're one of the most generous countries in the world. Not according to percentages. You need to go and get your facts. Sure, we got all this wealth, but we don't give like we should. Are you going to call God a liar? God is saying that we are like Sodom and Gomorrah. Hold your place here. And we're going to go back to Ezekiel because I'm not done. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzzah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. Verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Verse 3, the ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. They don't know. They don't understand. Many Americans and Britons don't understand they are part of the 10 tribes of Israel. They do not understand this. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Verse 4, all sinful nation of people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backwards, not forwards. Verse 5, why should ye be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more, more and more. And revolt means rebel. And that's what they are doing. That's what we are doing as a people, rebelling against God, getting ready to pass a law that will certainly contribute to all kinds of curses in this country. To, I can't even fathom it. You know, I was in my 20s talking to my friend, and I never, ever thought we would get to a point where this country would accept same-sex marriage. But we're at that point right now, ladies and gentlemen, and people just don't understand the seriousness of this. And I'm going to try to explain to you how serious this is, okay? Because it's very serious. Verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? You will rebel more and more. The whole head is sick. Our government is sick. Here, Jonathan Cahn, I saw the video of him speaking to our people, and they're up there clapping and not doing anything about it. You know, it's just ridiculous. And the whole heart is faint. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. That's the way he describes the leadership in this country and most of our people. And they have not been clothed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment, meaning that we should be using essential oils to help in the healing process. That's knowledge that our people, as Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't have knowledge about that. Instead, we use pharmakia. That word pharmakia is translated sorcery in the book of Revelation. And pharmakia, that's where we get the word pharmacy. Not to say that all pharmacy is wrong, but a majority of it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it doesn't help stimulate the healing process. And verse 7, your country is desolate or will be desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence, the Chinese and other people come over this country and they take ownership of our properties. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. That prophecy is being fulfilled as I'm speaking. And then in verse 8, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Verse 9, except the Lord of hosts have left us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been likened to Gomorrah. So he's not going to destroy the country to the point of being like Sodom and Gomorrah, but because we have a very small remnant in the Western nations that do obey. In verse 10, he says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers. He calls us rulers of Sodom. He calls the leaders, the rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. So he calls the rulers of this country Sodom. And he calls the people Gomorrah. This is God speaking, not me. All I'm doing is quoting the scriptures. That's all I ever do. So don't get mad at me. Verse 11, to what purpose is multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to threaten my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense, and abomination into me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even a solemn meeting. So he's not talking about incense normally is an abomination. It's just that their attitude is wrong. That's why he's not accepting their offerings. Verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear. And verse 15, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. That's what John Den Kahn was trying to explain to them, and it went through one earlobe and off the other when he spoke to Congress. Verse 17, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together. Yes, you can reason with God, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness, lodged in it, but now murderers. The silver has become dross, the wine mixed with water. The princes are rebellious and the companions of thieves. Everyone love of gifts and follow after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither does the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore says the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge thy dross and take away all thy tin, and I will restore thy judges as the first and thy counselors at the beginning. This is the good news. It will be restored righteousness. And then verse 28, and the destruction of the transgressors and the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Shall be consumed, ladies and gentlemen. And so anyway, that's proof that we certainly, God looks at us as being Sodom and Gomorrah. So let's go back to Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Our leadership has pride. It has fullness of bread, has abundance of idleness. And her and her daughters, neither did they strengthen the hand of the poor. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me, which homosexuality is one of those abominations. Therefore, I took them away as I saw. All right, that's the reason why. If you don't believe that, homosexuality is an abomination, then you need to take a look at something here. All right, because it is an abomination, ladies and gentlemen. It is an abomination. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we must understand that this nation will be judged as we continue to sin. We have to repent. God is not going to continue to overlook all the abortions that we have in this country. He's not going to continue to look at this one fact, if I can pull it up here, about poverty in this country that people want to ignore. There's 46 million people, around 46 million people that depend on food stamps and depend on people giving them food. That's a lot of people, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a lot of people that are oppressed and don't have jobs, don't have the type of jobs they should have. And so We need to understand this, and we need to realize that God is going to punish us mightily. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand, too, the event that initiated the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was homosexuality. And Yeshua stated plainly in Luke chapter 17 that these are the days of Lot. And so we need to pray that God has mercy on our nation, that he gives President Obama the wisdom and common sense to understand that he should stop supporting gay marriage and that he should stop supporting abortions. And so I was a little passionate today, but I believe the Lord moved me to be passionate. This program, I hope, will be in the archives. Please pass it on to other people. It will be called The Sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we need to all take a look at those sins and make sure that we're not committing those sins. That's what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. And so, with that, may the great Yah bless and keep you. And Yah willing, I'll be available to you next week. Shalom. Peace.
Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts.
Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.